All right, let's worry about main effects, because we're going to start talking about some doozies here. We're talking about an unconditional statement with or without covariate control of individual variables or aggregates of variables. When we say this treatment works, we want to be able to know whether we can make that statement unconditionally, or this treatment works as long as you control for this and you're looking at this group with these variables. That's more likely to be the story you tell than, hey, the treatment works. Because in order to say this treatment works, you have to have the main effect that's in the right pattern at every corresponding simple effect for every DV, no matter what you control for. Now, you're in a position to say, this treatment works. And that's a couple of conditions down the line. So let's start by staying just within this context. One DV, no covariates, and look at how careful we have to be before we make an unconditional statement. Part of this care is statistical. Part of this is measurement validity. Part of this is external validity, specifically sampling. So let's try and get a handle on that whole package. Patterns of data that include main effects must be identified by looking at the differences among the marginal means for a specific IV. When there is an interaction, each main effect, whether null or significant, let me say that a whole bunch of times, whether null or significant, must be carefully examined to determine if that main effect is descriptive or potentially misleading. Some folks prefer the phrase unconditional for descriptive. Cool. Some prefer conditional for misleading. Don't care. I want you carrying that whole synonym set around in your head, so whatever weird word somebody comes up with, you know which of these they mean. You must determine whether the pattern of each main effect is equivalent to each of the corresponding simple effects. That's the phrase that I really want us to understand. For a main effect, there is a set of corresponding simple effects. It's not uncommon to hear the advice to ignore main effects if there is an interaction. Lots and lots of very good books, very good workshops, very smart people say this. I cannot believe that it's made stupidly. I do believe it's made fearfully. Because I think that so often are the main effects too misleading or conditional or confusing to worry about describing all the way out. Too often is everything that's interesting in the pattern of the data with the interaction, that it's more like a why bother because you could fuck it up than a there couldn't possibly be anything there. So I don't think it's made out of stupidity. I know these people. I've had conversations about their books and why they say this, and it's fear-based. I mean, it's one thing to teach a class. It's something else to write a book and send the book out, and you never get to talk to the people who read it and tell you that you taught them wrong. A lot of bravery in textbook writing. My best guess is based on the correct idea that the pattern can render the pattern of one or more main effects to be potentially completely misleading. It's also impossible there may be an interaction and that one or both of the main effects can be descriptive. Remember parsimony? If I can make the statement, this treatment works unconditionally, I want to make it. Discerning whether main effects are descriptive or misleading is a critical step in examination of data from a factorial design. You must ensure the researcher, the reader, has a thorough understanding of the pattern of your data. Notice, not the data, not some data, but your data. You want to control the story they walk away with. And you want to make sure it's complete. You must give a complete accounting of each of the three effects involved in the factorial design, the interaction, and each main effect. So, interpreting main effects are a comparison of marginal means. 80 is bigger than 60, even on a Monday. Are you comfortable looking at this data and saying computer works better than paper within the context of our research? Is it true here? Is it true there? Is it true there? That's all there is. That is our research. That's all we got so far. What about this one? Do we have a main effect? Does it describe hard tasks? Does it describe easy tasks? No, it does not. And so we don't want to say computer works better than paper and go home. We either want to describe the pattern of the interaction as the important part of the data, or we want to say, you know, computer works better than paper overall, or on average, main effect language. But it didn't for easy tasks where it was equal. Some people look at this and say, go ahead and say that because it's true here and it's not true there. I mean, it's not like they flipped. Here's one that does flip. So overall, computer does better than paper, and that's exactly what happens for hard tasks, but for easy tasks, it's actually backwards. You really, really don't want to say paper does better than computer here. And if someone asks you a main effects question, should we use computer or paper, you don't answer. You ask a question. What's the task difficulty? Or if you want to answer, if you don't want to be one of those people who answers a question with a question, then you start with, it depends. Then you go on to say, what's the task difficulty? Because at some point you have to figure out which of these you're in. Or if you're not in any, maybe what they're doing is easier than anything you've looked at. Maybe it's in between. Maybe it's harder than anything you looked at. Beware extrapolation. And this is the one that I harp about the most. It's the one that annoys me the most. You've all heard these stories before. A null main effect can be misleading. Until we got to factorial designs, a null always meant done. I'm done. Null, nothing, done. Now, a null is not done. A null is a statement that it doesn't matter, so you got to make sure that it doesn't matter anywhere. Null main effects can be misleading. The trigger point for worrying about a main effect is not the significance of the main effect, it's the significance of the interaction. That's one thing we're going to talk about a lot in here, is as you're doing preliminary analyses, as you're checking out your data, as you're seeing what's related, what are the trigger points? This is a trigger point that I have to worry about a descriptive main effect. We're going to see trigger points that I have to worry about confounds. Trigger points that I have to worry about confound interactions. Trigger points that I have to worry about the difference between my MANOVA and my ANOVA results. It is part of this section is all about figuring out when I've just been told things got complicated and how to go explore those complexities.
Yeah. If you have a pattern of symbol effects that are descriptive of the main effect, do they both have to be significant in order to say that it's fully descriptive?
Unless you want to do the dance of the effect size, low power, yes. Now, you can choose to do that dance. I mean, if we had this, and let's say that was 80, and that was still equal, then you have to decide if you're going to say, I believe there's an effect here but not there, and that this numerical difference is not big enough to be reliable. Or you might say, I think that 10-point difference is real, and I think it matters, and I think that equal sign is a power problem. Unless you have numerical equivalence, you have to decide what you're going to do about it. And remember, it's four cells. You can have significant effects that you want to tell people are too small to care about, but more often you have non-significant effects that you do care about. Then you have to decide what you're going to do. Now, the thing that really helps is if your non-significant effect is the same size as other people's significant effect, so you're replicating at the effect size level but not at the p-value level, it's real easy to say that 10-point difference is there. It wasn't significant in my study, but other people that have looked here also found about a 10-point difference with larger studies, and so they were significant. So I'm going to treat that 10-point difference as real. And you just entered into negotiations with whoever's going to read it next. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because we're stuck in this shitty middle ground between numerics and statistics. The whole reason we have statistics is to try and help us know how much of a numerical difference to trust. On the other hand, we know that we only trust it as much as we have power. And sometimes we just can't have more power. So at some point, everything we're going to talk about needs to be part of a conversation. not just a statement. If you've got a p-value that's small enough and an effect size that's big enough, now we make statements and we're fine. But a lot of the time, it's part of a conversation. Okay. And so we have these five basic patterns. Three with interactions, two without. One more click. Oh, here we go. Two interaction patterns that have misleading main effects, one interaction pattern, and two no interactions that have descriptive effects. And the whole damn thing, as you keep pointing out, God bless you, is we're on that dance between numerics and statistics. What's the difference between this and that? It might be power, it might be effect size. Yes? It depends on what story you're trying to tell. If, for example, I was sitting on this data, and I was the first person to run to collect data with an easy task. If the rest of the published literature was out there about hard tasks, I got a significant effect. I would start my story there, but then in the biggest print, in the reddest ink they would let me, neither of which is there, I would put, but we got it where we're used to getting it, but the one we just tried, we did not get it. Okay? If this were brand new, I might not want to get anybody talking about this at all. I might do everything by focusing on this description. When here you get this, when here you get that. But if I'm following up on something, I'm going to say, hey, look, we got what we're used to getting, but notice how that worked. We got it where we're used to getting it. We didn't get it in the new place. Okay? Yeah, these are the two big things when you go from first-year stats to big bear stats, from medium-sized bear stats to big bear stats. You have to start thinking about all of these numerics and statistics as descriptions of behavior. They're not math, they're not models, they're not even regression weights, they're not even means. They're descriptions of behavior. That's what we're trying to do, is tell a story about behavior. And the second thing is, it's a conversation. Sometimes it's a conversation with statements. You've all been in conversations where I say something, everybody agrees, we're good. There's other conversations where you say something and somebody says, yeah, but what about? Well, what about? Well, what about? And you don't actually get to have that conversation. You have to have both sides of the conversation in one written document ready to go. Okay? So when you look at something, you say, all right, what do I want them to carry away? And what I want them to carry away from this depends upon where they start. If they started here, I want to say, look, we got this, led to this, but beware. If this is all new, if nobody had ever looked at that before, then I would start with the interaction. I'd probably leave it there. I'm not going to suck them into something and then say, by the way, forget what I just told you. Which is really annoying, because that's the way I was taught to write a factorial results section. So you describe one main effect, you describe the other main effect, just look at the marginal means. Then you describe the interaction, then you went back and apologized for any main effect that wasn't quite what you had just bothered to tell them it was. And that was the way APA wanted it done 20 some years ago. Because then, even in APA, a results section was a history of the data analysis. Now a results section is an articulation of what you're going to discuss in the discussion. Okay? When everybody was doing an ANOVA, and you had a page and a half to write about the results from a two-group ANOVA, you could say all kinds of shit. But you're running a three-way factorial MANCOVA, and you've still got a page and a half to write it up, you do not walk them through 6 weeks of data analysis. You say, here's the pattern and my promises that I'm not lying to you, and here's what I want you to notice so I can tell you what it means in a discussion. There's been an important shift in what is the content of a results section. Lots and lots of places went through a middle ground in the 80s and the 90s where you started seeing methods, then results and discussion, and then general discussion. Now, I liked that because I was dealing with some nasty models at the time, so I could say, here's the results and what it means. Here's the next set of results and what they mean. Here's the next set of results and what they mean. Here's what the whole thing means when you bring it together. Okay, because it was like, here it is, here's what it means. We did some research and we found out that that process quadruples the likelihood that they'll actually look at and remember anything about the statistics. If you start pairing, here it is and what it means, here it is and what it means, instead of here it is and what that meant, here's this and what that meant, here's this and what that meant, in the traditional results discussion, I mean, exactly the same words, just arranged differently. And you look at memory for and understanding of the statistical results, 4 times improvement. So, I was a big fan of that. It's gone. And if you'll notice, that's the way we tend to do posters and oral presentations. When you're out of space and you're out of time, what do? Put it together. Here it is and what it means. Here it is and what it means. Here it is and what it means. It's just in the manuscripts that we're expected to have the results section over there, tucked away, sometimes in smaller font, inviting us to ignore it. Related to this is the very important issue of whether or not the main effects that are part of a two-way design mean anything to us. This is not a statistical discussion. This is a measurement discussion or a sampling discussion. The last discussion we had was about statistics. Does this statistic tell us anything we care about? Now, is do the data tell us anything that we care about? Back to representation and inference. The purpose of any design condition or value is to represent some population. Every mean ought to be telling you about some identifiable population. So when you compare any two means, you're comparing any two identifiable populations. So we can infer that the difference between those conditions or values in the design represent differences between the populations we really care about. The cells in a two-way design each represent a specific population, and so comparison between them are comparisons between our target populations. But the means or values of all the main effects are aggregates, and what do they represent? So when I take this marginal mean of 65, who am I representing? Is this medium? Because it's not both easy and hard, because easy was 90 and hard was 40, and neither one of those represented very well by 65. When I take paper and computer and I have that, that's even worse, because this is at least a continuum, and so maybe this represents what happens in the middle if you have a linear relationship and at least we wouldn't need ratio, but we'd need at least interval data and just a linear relationship, then this might actually describe something on that continuum. But what the hell is the average of two different test formats? It's not overall, because 55 is neither 40 nor 70. Okay? So, does it represent something that we care about? What population is represented by the aggregation of paper and computer? Is it something that we care about? If it is, then it's cool. Okay? Let's see. It's not a data set that we will see in this course, but we saw it in 942 when we were talking about three ways, where the three kinds of food that were chosen to feed turtles came together and accounted for about 90% of foodstuffs. So if you sort of just did eating, that marginal mean probably represents about what you would get if you gathered up from all the different people who use all the different kinds of foods. That was almost a marginal mean that meant something. Okay? When we did the study that we had all 7 indigenous species from the state, that marginal mean is the average of all the turtles in the state. That means something. We don't usually have stories like that. I only have two stories like that after 35 years of crunching factorial designs. I only have two stories where I can say, yeah, that marginal mean was somebody we care about. And it was from the same study. So, when are main effects interesting? This is a new slide. We didn't have this slide. When the marginal means represent a target population, when the mix or aggregate of the cell means does represent some well-defined population of interest, then the marginal means represent a finding for that population. Because all populations are aggregates of multiple subpopulations. Right? We can have an argument about the words population, subpopulation. I don't care. Are males and females two different populations or subpopulations? Are different ethnic groups? I don't care. We have kinds that lump together into kinds with more of them. Kinds, kinds, kinds. Caution. Other populations might have different patterns. Because if I go two states over, they have a different seven turtles. So my seven turtles on average might not be the same as their seven turtles on average because they're not the same seven turtles being average. When a pattern of the marginal means is descriptive of the pattern in the corresponding simple effects, then main effects are interesting. When the basic pattern is the same for each of the different groups or conditions, then the marginal means represent a general finding. Okay, and carefully separate a general finding from finding about a specific population. So there's two times when main effect patterns are interesting. When they represent a population you care about, or when they represent a general finding. When they're descriptive.